You're listening to KTWH 99.5 FM in Two Harbors, Minnesota. And as promised, we have a special COVID-19 interruption of our regular programming because Greg Ruberg, the CEO of Lakeview Hospital, is calling us for his weekly check-in after receiving all his updates. Thank you so much, Greg, for calling in as usual.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. And I'll just first throw it out there. What are some numbers, what are some updates that would be of interest to all of us here in Lake County?
So the most recent updates that I provided to our team this morning was across Minnesota, we have tested 22,394 people as of this morning. Positive tests on the MDH website as of this morning were 742 for Minnesota. So again, I think a testament that social distancing and all the precautions and things that have been put in place are working to really slow that growth. There's growth, but not as dramatically as it could be. Deaths across Minnesota are at 18 as of this morning, and St. Louis County had 13 cases, Lake County 0, and Cook County 0.
Wow, so that's, to make some sense of those numbers, good news that there's still nothing in Lake County, at least of a confirmed nature.
Correct. That is good news.
Yes. And are the St. Louis County, are those all the Duluth area, or are there some up in northern Minnesota as well?
Correct. That includes all of St. Louis County. There have been some up north of Duluth on the north end of St. Louis County, to my understanding.
Okay. And can you interpret those numbers further for us? Are those good numbers or bad numbers or in-between numbers?
Yeah, it's still that the testing criteria for testing patients is still fairly strict. It's still really restricted to healthcare professionals who are ill or their immediate family, residents of skilled nursing facilities, group homes, or other congregate living, and then also patients that are in the hospital that would, as an inpatient or needing ICU type of care.
Yeah.
There's some expansion of that now, but again, it's a limitation on the testing supplies.
Yep. So if you have symptoms and you're calling the hospital and they're telling you to stay home and just see how it plays out, as long as you don't get seriously ill, that will never, or at least at this time, that's not getting tested right now.
That is correct. One thing I would mention, too, is our citizens of Lake County, I think both here in Silver Bay and Two Harbors and the surrounding area, have done a very nice job following those recommendations. We still have patients calling into our emergency department, calling into our clinic. I know they're using the hotlines in Duluth, both St. Luke's and Essentia, and really going through that triage process versus just showing up at our door and coming in the building. I've been very, very impressed at how that process has worked. And to your point, we triage people, we provide recommendations, they go home and they get better.
Yeah. So you are receiving calls. Like, is there a growing number of calls? Do you have a sense that the virus is spreading here? It just hasn't reached that serious level yet?
I don't think so. I would not say the calls are increasing. You know, the calls have been fairly consistent. The one thing that has helped a little bit is the incidence of flu has decreased slightly. I think we're kind of getting toward the tail end of the flu season. So a couple of weeks ago, we were having more calls and patients testing positive for influenza A, B, and other. And that is subsiding a little bit. But I think that it has been stable and maybe a good control on that. And I think people understand the process, and so some are probably calling hotlines even before calling us. So sometimes we see a slight decrease of what we'd expect.
Okay.
So it's the goal.
Yeah. So it sounds like things are working from when we talked last week, it was just all getting into place, and a week is not a very long time, I guess, but in the world of a pandemic, it is a long time. So you sound optimistic.
Yes, I think things are working. I think that the key, though, we cannot create this false sense of security where we think it's not here, it's not going to come here so we can do what we want. We still have to follow all of those recommendations. This is just one more tool that we have to really prevent or prolong when the surge hits. So.
Yeah, yep, and I think we're getting used to the new life as it is right now. So hopefully the second week will be easier than the first or the third, if we're into our third week. Some of us are into our third week. Greg, I've had questions from listeners about masks. People are making masks. There's official ways to make masks. There's unofficial ways to make masks. Who are the masks for? Does the hospital want masks? Tell us everything you can tell us about masks.
This is probably the most common question we continue to receive is around masks, both commercially made and handmade. So to answer your first question, we still have a need for handmade or hand-sewn masks, and we've had some very generous community support from businesses that are creating those masks. Those, we had an allotment of those come in just a couple of days ago, so our staff are using those. We've had individuals sending masks, so if you have masks, please call us, and we will talk to you about what type we need, how we can arrange drop-off, all of those things. So those are helpful. The one comment I would make on the hand-sewn or the homemade masks is they are not, we cannot use those as official PPE for patient care activities. So what that means is our nursing staff would not be using only a handmade mask to care for a patient. And that's important, and our staff all know that and understand that and are following that. They can be useful for covering a commercial-made mask to protect that mask so it can be reused. They can also be used for other support staff in the hospital that don't have direct patient care contact or are not in close proximity to other staff. So, for example, in the office where I work, we're all spread apart way more than 6 feet. We're in segregated offices. But if we had to come closer, I could wear that type of mask in my setting and be perfectly fine for source control. And again, so there's dual purposes. The other question we get is around availability of PPE in our inventory. We are very fortunate at Lakeview to have an adequate supply of masks, both cone masks, ear loop masks, N95 masks, all of that. And I would say we tried to get on that right away in order of what we could. We had very generous donations from large corporations in our community, small businesses such as a couple of dental offices, individuals calling from their house saying, I've got a box in my garage, would you like them? School district. And so again, I would attribute that to really a community effort. Lakeview's team did a very nice job preparing and really making sure we had an inventory, but then that was supplemented by community support. So our nursing staff have all the adequate PPE that they would need to care for patients. We're using it appropriately. We're reporting it to the state. And so that is all, at this point, again, working well. Now, when there's a surge, we're going to be, that will put some stress on that inventory during a potential surge, but we want to be prepared now and for any surge that may or may not come.
Yeah. So the summary of that is that if you are making masks, and there is a pattern online, which I'll just add in here that I have an email address of someone who has been making masks and has the pattern online, could easily send you the information, then go ahead and do that, but know that they will be used in certain ways and not in other ways. But to not be afraid to make masks. And Greg, what advice do you have for people that are not associated with healthcare, just going on their walks or feeling vulnerable in some way? Should they either make masks or find some of these homemade masks?
Well, this has been something that has been in the news more frequently this week, and I think more discussions are taking place around the country or across the state and locally. The major challenge right now is there are areas of the country that have significant shortages of PPE. I think New York's a good example where they're reusing masks, multiple days and through patients, and some significant challenges there. And I think so the challenge becomes if the average citizen starts ordering masks off of Amazon or buying them online or getting them, it takes further inventory out of that supply that are needed for healthcare workers. So in reality, if you're at home maintaining social distancing, you don't need a mask. When you go into the grocery store, I've had questions come up throughout the week on this one. What about when I go to the grocery store? Would it be helpful for me to wear a mask? And if we had an unlimited supply of masks and they were everywhere, I think, yes, you could wear a mask for source control. And what source control means is that if you're going to the store and you're becoming ill or are ill with COVID, you may or may not know. And so by putting a mask on, it's called source control. You control that potential spread to other people in the store. If you're not ill and you're going to the store, there's not a lot of real clear evidence that wearing a mask yourself will protect you from somebody else. So source control, really, if I wear a mask, I'm protecting somebody else from getting it from me. If they're wearing a mask and are ill, they're protecting me from getting it from them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. That's again, very clarifying.
The recommendation is we need to have appropriate PPE for our healthcare providers who are on the front lines in this 24 hours a day, they need the PPE, not the person that goes out for the walk or someone that goes down to pick something up at the store. They should use hand washing, social distancing, and limit those visits, and they'll protect themselves as best they can and really save that valuable PPE for healthcare providers and others.
Great. Thank you. Those questions really have been raging around this week, so that is very clarifying. Thank you, Greg. One more question. How are you screening employees that come in? Obviously, they're essential, and yet they are also high risk for getting sick. So how are you working those two things at once?
So we started an aggressive, really employee screening program last week, where it first started out a couple of weeks ago where employees were checking their temps on their own. I think that was great. They were checking, recording, and we were asking them to do that twice a day. We, as things escalated across Minnesota and as the cases grew and we saw more cases in St. Louis County, we again took a very proactive approach, and we actually take the temps and we supervise the temperature taking of our employees, where the employees, when we come in, including myself and our physicians and everybody else, take their temperature before they start their shift. They record the date, the time, the temperature, before they start. And again, it's one way for us to help protect each other, because we don't want a healthcare worker coming into work and working when they're coming down with potential COVID and infecting a coworker, because we need every employee here healthy and ready to care for the community. The other benefit that does is it helps protect our patients. So if we're screening every employee that's in the building and recording that, it's one of the best things we can do in addition to wearing masks on the front line to protect our patients. So our patients can be assured when they come in we've taken all those precautions. I've heard people say to me, well, taking the temperature isn't perfect. Someone could still be a carrier. And I said, that's right, but taking the temperature is still much better than not taking it or doing nothing. We're doing everything that we can. If we would never not implement a program like that, because there's a less than 1% chance that we
can. Right. It may make a big difference. May not make a big difference, but it may make a big difference in a certain case. And isn't it true that the fever is one of the very early signs? Is it generally a spiked fever or just a slowly rising fever? Because I would think people who get a sudden fever would obviously not come into work.
Yeah, that one, it has been both, to my understanding. And again, I'm not a physician, but what we do on our screening is if you're at 100.4 or above, you're not coming to work. And so typically what we've heard from people is the fever will come on really quickly, and we want to either catch it when it's ramping up or when it's there before they're symptomatic. And again, that 100.4 is a pretty aggressive measure to say you have to go home, call your manager, and we'll implement the kind of triage over the phone or virtual care versus being next to a coworker.
Yeah, and if it turns out to just be a bad cold, then no harm done.
One thing I would say, too, is our employees have been amazing throughout this entire process of preparing and planning and all of these changes that have been happening on the state level and national level. Every single employee, every single physician, nurse practitioner comes in, they use proper hand washing, they take their temp, they record it, and they go about their day. Some, when they come back, if they're on call, they do the same, they still do it again. So they've supported this 100% across our organization, which, again, is a testament to the great people we have working here.
Yes, and so morale is doing well, would you say, in your work environment?
I would say absolutely. I'm so impressed every day that I come to work and work with our physicians and our nursing staff and our housekeeping staff and kitchen staff that are all here giving it 100%, following all of the precautions that have been put into place. We have frontline staff at Lakeview working on our surge plan, and we've talked about the surge plan last week, is we have, you know, our frontline RNs giving us feedback saying that is a great idea, or can we talk about that, because maybe we should look at a little bit different approach to that. We had our CT tech in there today, and again, we limit the people that can come, and they'll have to call in as well, but we've had inventory employees there providing their feedback, and everything here is transparent. We're open. We share it. We discuss. We encourage them to challenge ideas that we have, and so people have been supporting each other. I see smiles on people's faces. They're planning and preparing for what could be coming, but doing it, upholding our culture at Lakeview.
Wow, that's so good to hear. Thank you so much, Greg, for calling in again, and I hope we will be able to check in with you again next week.
Yep, that sounds great.
All right. Thanks again, and anything else?
Well, just one other comment quickly I would make is that we have a weekly call, too, with Lake County, both Health and Human Services and Emergency Management. So I would like the public to know that all of our agencies and nonprofits and businesses are all working together to support Lake County. So that call is coming up for me at 11 o'clock, but great support from our county partners. We're problem solving together and, again, trying to support each other as we get through this.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Greg. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Bye.
That was Greg Ruberg again at the Lakeview County Hospital.